This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome along to the podcast. Just crossing a few T's, dotting a few I's over here. A lot going on the show today, by the way. Hear that in the podcast. Let's quickly give you Alpha Bucks letter for Monday, but F for Foxtrot, Carly.
Okay.
Name me. I love this one. Not because I love the topic, but I just like this question. I haven't heard it before and I like it. Name me, starting with the letter F, a math term.
Fractions.
Bang. Fraction. Formula. Figures. Fractions.
I was thinking frugal.
No, not frugal.
But that's like a budgeting term, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just like being stingy.
Yeah.
Being frugal. Well, actually, being more diligent with your money, I suppose.
Trying to
being
be
responsible.
Frugal. That's a great quality to have. You don't want to be cheap.
But No. Frugal. No.
Hear me out. Being cheap, bad. Being frugal, great. Because frugal people are like savvy.
No, they're the people that never offer to buy a round of drinks. They're pieces of
crap.
No.
They're people that like make their money go further.
Definition says sparing or economical as regards to money or food. So in the sentence, I'm a bit too frugal to splash out on designer clothes.
Yeah, so they're not spending money on silly things.
But they never buy a round. I've got plenty of mates who are frugal.
No, they're cheap.
No, frugal, because they're sparing or economical, like, responsibility. They don't want to just splash out on doing nice things because they're frugal.
Oh, okay. I thought frugal was like a way of saying that you're, like, good with your money, like, very smart, like, you invest it well.
It's just basically the nice way of saying stingy.
Oh.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like smart stingy.
Because I call myself, I like to say, oh, I'm trying to be more frugal.
Yeah, we all want to try to be more frugal, but we don't want to be frugal. Oh. Not completely. That's my interpretation of it. I just think everyone that's frugal is a cheap ass.
I've been watching my friend that stays with me. She writes everything down.
Oh.
And that's so good. Like, I actually think
that's
good.
She writes everything down.
Not everything, but like she's been keeping a little list and stuff.
Why? What? Oh, because she's got a wedding coming up. Is it this one?
No, it's Nicole.
Wow. That makes no sense.
It's the one that literally owns her own house and is getting it done and takes international holidays every year and lives her best life.
How many rounds does she offer to pay for, mate?
She doesn't stingy out on
us. Yeah. Sure, mate. Sure. Hey, enjoy the podcast and quick sell because Monday we are having the Cookie Monster on the show. And I'll pull the curtain back for our loyal podcast listeners. We already chatted with him. We pre-recorded early this morning.
Oh, so cute.
It was amazing. It was like, it was the Cookie Monster. Like, what can you say? Just stare. We're staring at a Zoom screen and the Cookie Monster is talking to us. It was surreal. That's on Monday. We can't wait to play it for you. Enjoy the podcast in the meantime. Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly for R&B Fridays, and we have a special guest on the line right now, Carly.
Yes, from WA, actually. Joining us is international entertainment reporter Nelson Aspin, who for the last, safe to say, I don't mean to age him, but 20 years he's been on our screens interviewing the most famous celebrities in the world. Good morning.
Good morning. You know what? I started my career when I was 8 years old.
Yep, so that's
I'm
it.
Officially into my second half century in entertainment.
And you've had all that time to write a new book. Your Home is Your Castle. Live Like an A-Lister in a Post-Pandemic World. This book hit number one on Amazon's home renovation and remodel charts. That's pretty impressive.
I nobody was more surprised and impressed than I was. I didn't know. I had no idea. To my happy surprise, because I'm not a home renovation or remodel expert at all. What I am is an interviewer. And we were building our dream house in New York City, in Harlem, this amazing, amazing home that we, you know, have scrimped and saved and waited our whole lives to create. And then, boom, COVID came. And just like everybody else on the planet, we had to pivot and we had to figure out, okay, well, what we thought we were going to have as our dream house has to change because we have to be able to have our gym here. We have to be able to have our office here.
You don't have to have a
without
gym.
Killing
just
each other.
Don't
just a couple a of bands around a doorknob. And
you got a door, you got a gym.
Yeah. So that was what prompted the book because we needed to pivot just like everybody else.
Yeah.
So the point of the book is not necessarily to, you know, have some fancy dream house. It's to adjust your living, whether you're doing something from scratch or redoing where you are. And as an interviewer, I interviewed the people to make this happen. So the book is not me trying to say I'm an expert in anything, but I assembled a team of experts and I wanted to share what I learned.
Smart.
With the reader. So Carly, you said have you seen the book?
I'm getting the book literally after the show today because I watched your apartment tour, and I know you're not giving yourself enough credit, because listening to you talk about your apartment, I could tell you were heavily involved in the process.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's from what I've learned about design is what's most important to you. For us, we have some important art pieces that, and so we just showed them to the designer, and we like said, okay, here's our views from our apartment. We're lucky enough to have views. A lot of places in New York City stare at a brick wall, but here's our views. Here's our art. Go. And she was able to go off of that. But anybody can do that. What's most important to you? Is it your pets? Is it your kids? Is it your art? What's the nucleus? And then you have somebody with a vision, with an eyeball, who can go from there. And a lot of times you can do these things yourself. That's why the explosion of the DIY, do-it-yourself movement. But I'm strictly HAP.
Now,
hire a professional.
I agree.
Don't muck around and try and do it yourself. You'll end up costing yourself more money if you do it wrong. Get a professional.
Yep.
Now, Nelson, I can imagine you'd have some pretty big name guests mingling in your lounge room, because 20 years you've spent on Sunrise, and it's safe to say you've actually become genuine friends with a lot of these celebrities. But I want to call out the rudest celebrity you've ever interviewed.
Besides
like,
me.
Who isn't getting an invite over?
You know, and then people wonder why entertainment guys are like, why they're perceived as snarky. It's because you're always asking me who's the worst. You never want to say who's the best.
Oh, we'll get to who's the best.
That's my second question.
If you want me to name and shame, I can tell you off the top of my head, one of my pet peeves is punctuality. I might say that this phone call was scheduled to happen and it happened exactly on time. So see, those of us who appreciate punctuality, we're the good guys. Somebody like Vin Diesel, however, and I've had great interviews with Vin Diesel. I probably never will again after saying this, but I've had great interviews with him over the years. The problem is he has no respect for anyone else's time but his own. The first time he kept us all waiting a day. Like he just
a day.
He futzed around to the point of where they had to cancel everything. And, you know, if you're bringing in a bunch of journalists from all over the world to interview somebody, it costs a lot of money to the studio to put them up, change their flights, move them around, let alone the courtesy of keeping people waiting for a day. And then I said, okay, it's a one-off. The next time, 7 hours. The next time, 5 hours. And on the fourth time, it was a Zoom call. I thought, well, it'll be easy. It's a Zoom interview. How late could he be? Well, 2 hours later, when he finally managed to squeeze in time for a Zoom call, I was like, you know what? I don't need this. My time is valuable to me. And if I were 3 seconds late for a TV appearance, guess who wouldn't be on TV? You know,
exactly.
You can be 3 hours early, but you can't be 3 seconds late. So, but that's his thing. A lot of people have problems with lateness. I don't judge, but if it's your job, then whatever. So I just think that's inconsiderate.
It sounds like he's only got time to respect family, to be honest with Vin Diesel there. That's all he has room for.
But he does give a good interview when he finally shows up.
Well, that is one thing. Hey, thanks for coming over to WA for Telethon. We really appreciated having you here, Nelson Aspin. And everyone, get a copy of that book, Your Home is Your Castle. Live like an A-lister in a post-pandemic world. Thanks for your time today. We could chat for hours.
My pleasure. I just love being in Perth. It's the greatest place on earth. I love it.
Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly, and right now on 131060, we're asking for you to give us a call. Tell us your type of car and when you took it off-road, and we're going to try and figure out whether your car made it or didn't make it.
Yeah, because Alan, my little Honda Jazz did make it because I took it off-road,
yep.
I took a chance, and she made it all the way around the Pinnacles.
Now, that once again, I just want to be clear, for anyone that's been to the Pinnacles, they know it's just a little dirt track. It's not actual off-road. There's no...
I was impressed.
If your car didn't make it, that would impress me more than it going around to impress me. Anyway, I'll leave it there. 131060, but tell us your car, and we're going to try and figure out whether it got stuck when you tried to take it off-road. Let's start with Ayla from Northam. Good morning.
Hi. So this is sort of my friend's story. She took her little Ford Fiesta.
Is what we're going with. Okay, so Ford Fiesta. Now, Carly, this is the bit where you and I need to figure out whether it got stuck or it made it.
We'll set the scene. Where did she take the Ford Fiesta?
Yeah.
She took it down to Serpentine Falls.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Yep. Was it raining or not raining?
Not raining.
Okay.
And how long was she off road for? And she on a dirt road?
I feel like you just want the answer, Carly. You got to take a guess.
Okay, I'm going to say Ford Fiestas, they've got some guts in them. I think they can take a bump or two. I think she made it.
You think she made it?
Yep.
I hear the confidence. I feel like she made it. I feel like it's a story, but I feel like, yeah, that she made it. All right, Ayla, did your mate make it? That's hard to say.
No.
No. Oh, no. All right. That's our first one wrong. All right, what happened?
So she's a bit of an adventure bug, and she decided she was going to take a little Ford Fiesta off on a four-wheel drive track.
Oh, okay. Well, she did have four wheels and it could drive, so no, I see well, how she got misconstrued yep. there.
Jeez.
Yep, and she got stuck for 3 hours before the ranger found her.
Oh!
That sucks.
Has she tried to take it off-road since?
She did it a few times, actually, and she'd get stuck every time.
What is? Okay, well, obviously, a good match for the ranger then. That's something to know. Thank you for your call.
She needs to upgrade her car.
Yeah. At least. Let's go to Tammy in Port Hedland. Hey, Tammy, how are you?
Hey, great, thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing well. All right, now tell us, what type of car are we starting with?
A 1986 Toyota Corolla.
Okay. So we're going a little old school.
Yeah, well, I've got a Toyota Orion, but one's 2008, and Toyotas are good. They're good. They're a sturdy car. They take a beating.
So where did you try and take it?
Yeah, where?
So this happened in New Zealand and it involved a beach.
Okay.
Oh, whoa. Here's I'm going to say instant no from me. Yeah. I've seen so many beach bogs with four-wheel drive, so I don't think a little car makes a beach
drive. Yeah, no, I'm going to go with Carly on this one. I think you got bogged.
No.
Oh, we're wrong. Yes. Son of a...
Wow.
What happened, Tammy? So
my amazing little Toyota Corolla was my first car. The best thing, like, we bought a boat and we used to launch our boat off the beach in New Zealand in that thing.
It used to take the boat down on it. Wow. Yeah.
Jeez, Toyotas.
Yep, launched it into the water straight from the beach.
Who needs a four-wheel drive, right?
Yeah, what a feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
That's incredible. Thank you, Tammy.
By the way, I will say we don't want to be blamed for anyone getting bogged today. We don't encourage this kind of behavior.
No, don't. And the high tides as well, by the way, for the northern states. So definitely don't be getting on the beach. Keep an eye on that, Margot.
Wow.
I'm impressed. Before we move any further, I want to talk about something that I'm very passionate about. I'm talking about a big breakfast.
Big breakfast. I'm gonna regret all the big breakfast. Everybody seems to forget how they felt last day. They got the big breakfast. I think they're...
Tom Cardi there from TikTok. Absolutely killing it. And a song all about big breakfast. How can I not? Because at the moment, Carly, there is a debate emerging online. If you could take one item away from a big breakfast, what would you do?
Well, first of all, what items are on a big breakfast?
Great question.
I feel like at the end of the day, you have to actually read the fine print for a big breakfast because it's not a one-size-fits-all.
I'll give you the general kind of big breakfast because some people kind of add and take and blah, 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 blah. But a typical big breakfast, you're expecting to see a bacon on there. Bit of bacon.
Yeah.
Bit of a sausage.
Standard. Yep.
Eggs.
Yep.
Toast.
Yep.
Beans.
Yes.
Hash brown. Mushrooms. And tomato. A grilled tomato.
But it's always like the thickest tomato. No one ever eats the tomato.
Well, that's the thing. 131060, open it up for you to come along because at the moment online they're debating if you could take one item off the big breakfast, what would you take?
I would actually take the beans first.
Well, beans
I'm a vegetarian,
tomato?
So I'd be
well,
taking
Well, yeah, pretend you're not a vegetarian because you do have appreciation for the meat and smell of meat when
I
you
do,
feed
yeah.
your dog, Gabby.
Yeah.
So realistically, like say you're not a vegetarian, you walk in, big breakfast, you have to take one item off. What are you taking?
I reckon the tomato, which is controversial for a vegetarian to say, but I just don't think it adds anything. It doesn't
Couldn't
add flavor.
More.
And I feel like the whole thing for a big breakfast, right, is you want the grease factor.
Yes.
It's not greasy enough.
Yep.
It's too sloppy, more grease. So if it doesn't have the grease factor, if it doesn't leave a little film on your plate, get rid of it.
I couldn't agree more. You've absolutely nailed it. Yeah. I had some people.
And then if I had to go process of elimination.
Like after tomato?
After
okay.
tomato.
Let's both do that. Okay. So tomato, we both agree. Get rid of tomato.
Yep.
Next.
Beans.
Yep, I agree with that. Yep, beans don't add
gone.
That much. Mushroom, I love mushrooms, so I want mushroom on there for sure.
Mushroom is, I don't think, a necessity.
Well,
again, controversial.
Well, if we're going down a list, so yeah, goodbye tomato, then goodbye beans.
Yeah.
And then I guess goodbye mushroom, because I want the hash brown over the mushroom. So.
Oh, actually, you know what you could do?
What do you do?
You could get rid of the toast because you got the hash brown. You could put the bacon and the egg on the hash brown, which I've done before and made a nice little, like, use it as the toast.
I been doing the healthy thing lately and avoiding the toast, and let me tell you, I am miserable.
Wow, yeah, I can imagine.
Keep the toast. do it for me. Just keep this in mind when you're ordering a breakfast. There is a debate emerging around just such a beautiful topic. And once again, Tom Carty.
Big breakfast. I'm gonna regret all the
Carly.
And Halloween is happening on Monday. A lot of people going to Halloween parties over the weekend.
Oh, geez. What? I didn't do that. That wasn't me.
You're turning it into a different thing.
Okay, sorry. I would take it back.
So a lot of people thinking about their costumes. Now, this year I thought I want to go topical with mine. I thought I want to recreate an iconic moment from 2022.
You're coming as COVID. Thanks a lot, Carly. You're coming as the borders open and everyone with COVID getting to WA.
So I was literally like Googling things that were big in 2022. And probably one of the biggest things for 2022 was this song going viral.
My money don't jiggle, jiggle. It folds. I like to see you wiggle, wiggle. For sure. It makes me want to dribble, dribble.
I've seen this. Yeah. I've seen this everywhere. So TikTok, Instagram, Facebook.
I thought, how can I recreate this song in a costume? And then I thought, well, Alan, listen to this. I thought I had nailed the brief. So picture this. All black.
Yep.
Like, you know, got me skivvy on.
Like a cat suit.
Me tights.
Yep.
Then I was going to staple fake money to the top of me.
Okay, the money.
And then I was going to, for the bottom, staple fall leaves.
Fall, like autumn leaves.
Autumn
like
fall, leaves. Fall. I was going to do like a video.
Yeah.
And I was going to like shake my top half, like my money don't jiggle, jiggle, then be like, like do the no, no, no.
Yeah.
And then point to the leaves because my money don't jiggle, jiggle. It falls.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Perfect. Do
certainly
you get
a
it?
Conversation starter.
It is.
I get it. I wouldn't get it. I reckon if I just looked at you, I'd be like, money leaves. Like,
I obviously would have to explain the costume.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was so excited to tell my husband. I'm like, I have nailed this.
Yeah.
And he's like, Carly, the lyrics are, my money don't jiggle jiggle, it folds.
Correct. I'm literally just sitting here going, it's fold, because it's as if it's coins versus notes. Well, listen to it again. Here it is.
My money don't jiggle jiggle, it folds. I like to see you jiggle jiggle.
Folds.
Oh, is there not a different version?
No.
Oh. Back to the drawing board. Disappointed. Would have left a lot of people confused on Halloween.
What if you just had a bunch of folded notes stapled to your dress?
Oh, perfect.
Hit breakfast with Alan and Carly, and our next guest is an amazing athlete. In fact, here's one of those amazing moments in the women's gold 800 metres at Tokyo for 2020, the Olympics. Check this out.
She's looking extremely strong as Madison De Rosario. She's holding off, if anything. She's going further out in front, and she's going to take the line and take the win and dethrone the current champion, 145.99. That's a new Paralympic record for Madison De Rosario.
Yes, she joins us now, that gold-winning sports award-winning superstar. Good morning, Madison.
Hello.
Jeez.
And firstly, congratulations on being named Athlete of the Year. How does that feel?
Oh, that is absolutely unreal. I think it's one thing to kind of be able to come out on top in your own sports, but I look at, you know, the women in Australia, the athletes we have, is truly unreal.
It's awesome when you see the names that you're up against, Ash Barty, for example, Sam Kerr, and then you go and smash. I love it. This is awesome.
Thank you. No, it's unreal, and honestly, it's a little bit surreal still. I think you kind of go to these events and see the lineup, and you're honestly, you think your highlight is just going to be named as the nominee alongside those women. So, yeah, absolutely did not see that one coming, and yeah, no, absolutely.
Did any of them happen to reach out to you and have a chat and maybe throw some shade at you maybe?
No, honestly, they're like the most incredible community of women. So I know a lot of them anyway. Jess Fox and I both train out of NSYS, for example. And yeah, no, they're an incredible group of people. Yeah.
And as we know, women's sport is on the rise and it is building and we're seeing more and more of it in the spotlight.
Yes.
So I can imagine to even have this award and even be holding the Australian Women in Sport Awards means a lot to the Australian sporting community.
It does. And I think one of the incredible things right now about women in sport is the way no one person is just trying to serve their own career in that space. And every single one of us definitely could, but there is almost like this shared kind of goal to grow the sport as a whole and not any one sport, but the whole spectrum of women's sport.
Now, we play a little bit of audio from that 800-meter win, which is cool. Don't get me wrong. Gold medal, very cool. Tokyo, very cool. But you won the New York City Marathon.
Wow.
Is that like, that's 42, I don't know marathons. I've never done one. I never thought about it. That's 42 Ks, right?
It is.
That's insane.
I know. So I'm training for New York City again right now. We're heading over next week.
You must have guns of steel. Like, honestly, like, how muscly are your arms?
I mean, it's part of the job description. So you try.
Now, be honest, Madison. Do you ever halfway through training go, oh, have I overcommitted here? I often wonder about athletes, especially because you guys put these things out into the public and then people have these expectations.
Oh my God, no, this morning. So I just came back in from training and I had a hill session on the treadmill, which is like one of the toughest places to do a hill session because there's no escaping. Like, even if you're kind of fading, the treadmill's still moving and it holds you accountable. And midway through, I was like, why the marathon? Like, if I'd made other decisions in my life, I wouldn't be here right now trying to dying through this session.
And this is why you took out the award that you did take out, because better you than me. I would have just quit and left.
I was going to say, Carly be in the running, but it involves running or it involves at least moving. And Carly's not doing that. Before we let you go, obviously, you're an inspiration. Is there a message out there for anyone that, you know, is thinking about getting into sports and in representing their country or their state?
Oh, give it a go. Try anything and everything. I tried and was terrible at so many sports before I found the one that worked for me. And I feel like sport is such an incredible way to discover who you are. Like, it's sort of, especially for women, for girls and for people with disabilities, I feel like it's one of the most amazing vehicles for working out your identity. So whatever it is, just give it a go.
Madison, congratulations once again, and thank you so much for chatting with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast.